to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Paul Lonergan. Paul is an author, ghostwriter and copywriter with alwayswrite.com.au. For more than 20 years, he's been using words to sell everything from stockbroking services to beauty products to his own book, The Little Book of Thrift. Today we're talking about copywriting that can help you sell your book. So welcome, Paul.
Hi, Joanna.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. It's great to have you here.
No problem.
So you've recently helped me with a bit of a sales page on my blogging product. So that's why I've invited you on the show, because you've got a lot that you can teach authors who are, you know, might be good at writing but not copywriting. So first of all, tell us a bit about you and your company and also your background in writing.
Okay, well, you know, I guess I'm like most writers or authors, really, in that I knew that I loved writing right from the day dot, you know, since I was a kid. I won the best writing thing in Form 1 for a story that I did. And I knew that I was always going to be a writer. So I started working for free, really, at a radio station after I'd left uni as a sort of general sort of all sorts boy, and then moved into the copy department, which is the advertising department in a radio station. I did that for quite a few years, and then I, you know, travelled and I settled in Sydney, in Australia, and started working for Reader's Digest, which is a huge publishing multinational, and I started in their copy department, learning really how to sell books and how to write direct mail advertising. And I discovered early on that I really loved writing and advertising per se. I was lucky to sort of fall into a job that was able to use my love of writing as well as get, you know, paid for it, because we all need to eat. About 10 years ago, I started up my own company called Always Write, which is W-R-I-T-E. my wife argues the top on that. But anyway, so I did it about 10 years ago, and ever since then, really, I've been writing, you know, websites and brochures and whatnot for all sorts of different companies, from, you know, from large multinationals down to, you know, the corner store who might be selling pool supplies or whatever the case may be. In that time, I've also written a number of books. I've done about 7 books that I've ghostwritten for people, which have sold apparently quite well overseas as well as in Australia. And I've done my own books under my own name. I've done 2 of those, and really have loved every minute of that.
Mm. Wow, that's loads.
Feels like loads at times.
Yeah, I imagine. And God, I've already got some new questions that weren't on my list, but I'm going to come back to them. So we'll stick on copywriting first, and then we might get into some other things. So, let's just start with the basics. So what is the difference between copywriting and writing a book, whether it be fiction or nonfiction? And why is copywriting important for authors?
Look, I think actually in a sense, there are no real differences except the outcome. You know, you get a book which is, 210 pages versus, magazine space ad, which is 1 page or whatever. But the actual tools, the skills, if you like, are really quite similar, which is why I think an awful lot of copywriters end up as authors, you know, people like Peter Carey or David Rollins or Peter Mayle or whatnot. The skills things like clear, concise writing that gets to the point. You know, you must have a natural flow as a copywriter, and that's also a skill that you need as a writer. You need to engage people as a copywriter. You need people to respond to the advertisement and get involved in that advertisement. And the same rules apply to the scenes that you might be developing in a book or how you describe a character. You've got to engage people. So those sort of basic tools, if you like, of copywriting are as true for an author as they are for a copywriter.
Mm. Oh, but the word advertisement is making everybody cringe.
I know. that dreadful selling thing.
It is. You know, how can you convince authors who are listening that they need to know about this stuff? Why should they carry on listening?
Look, I'm biased. Obviously, I've been in advertising, as it were, for 25 odd years. But really, you know, I look at all parts of life as selling. You know, we sell ourselves on a daily basis, either to our partner to get the new washing machine that we want, or, you know, you sell your kids on the values that they might have. You know, those all selling is in a sense putting forward your argument for why something or other should happen. you know, whether it's valid or not is neither here nor there. But the, you know, we all have to sell something in order to get ahead, and selling your own book is no different. You know, I think that really you've poured huge amounts of time and effort into producing your book. You've got to sell it as well so that you can get the enjoyment out there to other people. What is wrong with selling the product that you've spent years developing and researching and writing and what have you? Selling isn't a dirty word. I think it's in a sense something that you just have to get used to. Certainly in these days of self-publishing and e-books and iPad books and what have you, if we as authors can't sell our own product, no one actually is going to do it for us. You know, those days are gone, I think.
No, you're right. And yeah, well, that kind of leads us into the, I guess, the first thing, which is, you know, attention. Mm. How do, you know, there are millions, I think there's ridiculous numbers of books published every day now, and so much else to read as well on the iPad and on Twitter and blogs and you know, everything. There's so much to read. So maybe you could talk a bit about attracting attention, especially online.
Yeah, this is where I think it is going to head for us as authors, the people who are going to be self-published. You are going to have a website. You are going to have a Twitter account. You're going to have to, to have a Facebook account and whatever. And so how do you garner attention for your book and your website in the first place? Well, that's obviously something to do with search engine marketing and search engine optimization and those sorts of things. But once people get to your website, it becomes crucial to hold them there. So the way that I do that when I'm developing, you know, websites for the different client companies that I have is really to engage straight away with a good headline that targets the person that you want to get in for your particular product. So in the case of an author, you might be, let's say that you're selling an adventure novel. You know, your headline is going to be something along the lines of, gripped by excitement, you can't put this down, or who knows what, but some sort of headline that says, hey, adventure readers, come here, you'll find something that you want to read. In a sense, you know, the headline on your website is a bit like sort of baiting your hook, and what I try to do is go long line fishing and bait as many hooks as I possibly can with the headlines and the subheads that you use on that home page. Because the research says that you've got about between 3 and 5 seconds to grab someone's attention before they flick onto the next website. So unless you've got a headline that really gathers up the target market that you think are going to read your book and then draws them in with some sort of curiosity, inciter or whatever, then it's a hard road to travel.
Mm. No, that's... Yeah, some really good points there. I actually, interestingly enough, have been seeing Facebook adverts now with advertising books. So, and I've just, I'm going to write a blog post on it because I think it's brilliant. And it's kind of like, you know, do you like James Rollins thrillers? You know, question mark. If you do, you'll love this new book, which instantly got my attention because it was so targeted. So, you know, have you got any tips for good headlines?
Well, it's exactly that, what you just said. You've just illustrated my point far better than I did with the perfect headline. Because you've got to target people sort of very specifically, really, because, you know, people have all sorts of different tastes. So saying something like, do you love James Bond movies? You'll love this book.
Mm.
Is exactly the kind of headline. If you are writing romantic novels, you might say something, if you've always enjoyed a good Mills and Boone story, then you'll love this.
Mm.
That then gathers in those people that you are targeting and draws them into it. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Facebook. It is the fastest growing medium in the world. You know, there's something like 500 million people on Facebook today as we speak, and that's growing exponentially. So in terms of marketing, Facebook is becoming more and more crucial, as is a website and what have you. But back to your original question, I think it is to say something along the lines of the genre that you're writing in, and then tell people what to do. Provide a call to action. So to go back to your line, it's if you love James Rollins books, you'll love this story here. Click here, or something of that nature. You've got to tell people what to actually do. That's what we mean by a call to action in advertising terms.
Oh, let's explore that a bit more, because I definitely struggle with this. You know, I kind of do these, you know, really useful posts, and I never actually say to people, oh, by the way, you know, how about buying my book or my blogging product? Or, you know, I never really kind of get that far because I feel a bit bad about it. So maybe you can explain that call to action idea and, you know, maybe give some examples of how to actually do it without sounding like you're always selling.
You know, when you are selling something, you are selling something. But the way I look at it, you've got to create a relationship, first of all, with the people that you're talking with. And even in an advertising sense, I think it's much easier when you're an author, maybe, because you are talking to other people who do want to read your product, who've got a relationship with you, who are readers themselves, and they have a love of books. So, they're open to authors. By creating that relationship, you then sort of, in a sense, take the hard sell out of it. And that's what everyone's frightened of, that hard sell. And we don't have to go there. But what you do need to do is bring people into your website where you are selling your book, for example, and talk them through it. You might, for example, talk about some of the characters. You might talk about some of the, you know, the places that you visit in the book or whatever the case may be. And then you say something like, if you'd like to know more or you'd like to read more, click here to buy my book. And I do think you have to be almost as bold as that. I don't shy away from selling it. People don't resent it when they're already interested in whatever the product is. They need to know what to do, and you've got to tell them. And I'm all for simplicity. You know, the whole there's a philosophy in advertising, which is, you know, the KISS thing, which is keep it simple, stupid. And really, you do have to keep it really simple, because people are busy. They've got other things on their minds. They're being distracted by, you know, kids running around or TV or whatever the case may be. So tell them exactly what you need them to do, and don't be shy about it.
That's good. And it's also good you mentioned relationship marketing there. I'd quite like to know about your sort of opinions on the authenticity side of blogging and writing online now, where, you know, many people think copywriting must be very serious and, you know, professionally written. But what do you think about the more authentic writing?
Absolutely. I think that's where we're all at these days. You know, marketing used to be formal and people used to be formal years ago. I don't think we are formal anymore. We don't have that sort of that socialization structure that restricts us anymore. And I think when you read a blog, what you want to do is engage with the person's personality. You want to hear them coming through. And blogging is difficult, I think, for many people, because in a sense you are putting yourself out there. But it's that sort of warts and all thing that appeals. You know, you connect in with someone whose personality you enjoy, who you'd like to have a beer with in the pub afterwards or something like that. That's the way I look at it. You know, you want to engage with people that you can relate to in whatever form that is. And you can only really do that, I think, by being authentic in the way that you write. So you write to your personality. You create that personality online that you have offline, because that's all it is. And it's an extension of who you are as a person within the blog. People have really finely tuned rubbish detectors, I think. They can spot inauthentic or too stilted stuff that doesn't read as if it's, you know, the person, it's herself or himself. So to my mind, the safest thing you can do is just relax into your personality if you're blogging and run with that. Some people will not find you witty, funny, whatever. Some people will, you know, and that's all you can worry about, the people who will. You know, there's an awful lot of nastiness out there in the web world, in a sense. I ignore it. You know, you are going to get crazies out there that say and do whatever it is, but just ignore it. Just relax into your personality and engage with the people who enjoy what you're doing and enjoy that whole process, I think, and just ignore the other stuff.
And, you know, it's funny because as I'm kind of growing my profile and people keep telling me this, they're like, oh, there's some really nasty people out there. And I haven't actually found them yet. I'm kind of waiting for the day I get hate mail, and it's not happening. So I'm sort of crossing my fingers and hoping it doesn't happen, because I think the writing and the author community are really nice people. It's not like some of the other markets online, you know, the internet marketing lot or the make money online lot. You know, I think authors and writers are are genuinely nice people.
that's been my experience. I mean, you know, I would completely agree. I think we as a subset of society is awfully pretentious, but you know, we are nice people because we're engaged with life. Really, that's what, you know, being an author is all about. You're sort of exploring the realms of life here, or, you know, science fiction or whatever it is, but you're exploring life, you know, and those sorts of people are perhaps more thoughtful than many others, and so the kind of people that you attract, in a sense, to those sorts of writing groups or book groups or whatever, you know, they're genuinely nice people. That's been my experience anyway.
Good. Now, I've skipped something on our list because I know there's that the desire thing. I skipped the question on desire about creating desire in people. So, do you have any tips on creating desire in people to buy your book above all others, I guess?
Yeah, look, I do. The desire thing that you're talking about is part of an advertising model called AIDA, and here's some inside tricks on advertising. But AIDA is a thing that stands for attention. Create attention for whatever you're trying to say, and then create interest in the product that you have, a book, for example, and then you create desire to have that book. The A part of AIDA stands for action, the call to action, and I use that in all my commercial writing. And when I was sort of writing the website and doing the blog work for the Little Book of Thrift, what I tried to do in terms of the desire thing is really establish that need that people might have for that particular product. So, for example, that was a book on, you know, thrifty tips and simple living, simplifying your living and what have you. So I would get evocative in my blogging. I would talk about, you know, perhaps not being quite so pressured by marketing, which was ironic, really, given...
Yeah.
given
buy my book on thrift. I love that.
That's right. Don't, go to the library and get it. No,
yeah. No don't.
Don't. But anyway, I would try to be evocative about, you know, the kind of lifestyle that you might have if you read my book, in terms of, you know, taking money out of your weekly budget and living a simpler life and going back to perhaps simpler times with some of the recipes and the kind of living that you might do if you lived this slightly simpler life. So that's what I mean by desire. You create in a psychological sense a kind of a longing for the position that you're taking within your advertising. So to go back to a book sense, what you might be doing as an author is creating the desire to get lost for a couple of hours. You know, the lovely feeling that we all have as readers in sitting there and then looking at your watch and going, oh my gosh, where did an hour and a half go? You know, that kind of desire, I think, is easy to say, really hard to do. But I think it's important. And you know, I think that some people have that naturally. I think your website, for example, has a really good way of just communicating the love of writing that you have, and therefore, you know, the desire that you build in other people is to emulate what you're doing as an author and to try to sort of get your writing out there. That's what I pick up from your website. You know, so you've in a sense created that desire within me, and yet you haven't probably done that deliberately. And I think it's part and parcel of being authentic. It's part and parcel of having a personality. So some people will find that relatively easy. Some won't.
And to everybody listening, this is my third blog, and I've talked about this before, but I certainly didn't get it right at the beginning. And but in being authentic and basically going, do you know what? I just want to talk about what I really like and not something that's short-lived.
Yeah.
I can see this going forever. You know, I never ever run out of things to say. Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. But no, I mean, but I really love my blog, and I go on about it a lot, but I really love it, you know, and I love these interviews, and I always learn so much. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I have a couple of other questions. First of all, I've been getting into video recently, and I'm trying to really boost my video because, you know, YouTube is now, I think, 51% of search, and Google owns YouTube and all that. So
yep.
Where is copywriting going in a video world?
It's in It's in encapsulating the message that you want to say in a really clear, concise manner that doesn't repeat itself and gets across the message and provides a call to action. So that's the, you know, that's the skill, if you like, that a copywriter brings to that particular table. Because what you want in a YouTube video in particular, you want the authenticity, you want the voice of the person, and you want the personality to shine through. But what you've really got to focus on is not being repetitive, and establish a sort of a logical flow, if you like, for the message that you're giving. So when I do videos for different people, what I try to do is listen to them talk for half an hour, and then I write down the short, sharp, clear message of the particular product or service that they want to get across. The other thing I think is really important in a YouTube video in particular is that it really can't be more than about 2 to 3 minutes. And in that sense, you've only got the time to say one thing and one thing really well. In other words, don't be all things to all men. Pick one particular point that you might want to make about the latest chapter or the book itself, and just make that one point in a clear, concise fashion.
Mm. It's actually good you said that about listening to people talk for 30 minutes and then coming out with the points, because I tell people to, if they're struggling with writing a book, I often tell people to do that, and mainly with nonfiction, is, you know, okay, so record yourself talking about this topic and then, you know, go get it transcribed, and out of that I bet you'll get some good points.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's the key to all writing. I think, you know, I have to write every day for clients, and you know, the one thing I've never really found writer's block to be a problem, because all I ever do is force myself to write. Now, whether it's rubbish or not is irrelevant, but I'm writing, and you can go back the next day and fix it up. And the same principle applies to, you know, trying to get the points in your YouTube video. Just start talking.
Mm.
Start writing whatever it is, and then fix it up the next day or after you've had lunch or whatever the case may be. Come back to it. But just sit there and start. You know, that's the big key, I think, to getting stuff out.
That's great. Some really good stuff there, because that's exactly how I feel about writing as well. And also I'm getting into with video, because the same thing with writing, you just got to get it out there and then you can edit it. Video is the same. You can edit it. So and actually, I've been studying some of the, you know, the kids making hundreds of thousands of dollars online.
Ms. Natalie Trans.
Yes, her. Yes, I've been watching her videos. And the real key with those is they cut them very often. They're cutting all the time.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah, but she's also really natural. Have you noticed that? She's
yeah.
really authentic. And I think, you know, we spoke about that earlier. It's that authenticity, I think, that people are relating to now in this world.
Mm.
You know, because there is so much stuff out there that can grab our attention. And what we're really doing is sort of, in a sense, hunkering down, I think, and just going back to the familiar things. And people who, in a sense, are being familiar with us, and I don't mean that in a sort of negative, but I mean who are familiar and friendly and warm, that's what we're relating to as a general sort of group, I think, you know, because there's so much stuff that can grab our attention and hassle us, you know, from day to day, that authentic sort of voice has become the key selling point, if you like.
Mm, yes, and those people kind of act as filters for us on the internet. You know, there are certain bloggers like Tim Ferriss is
yep.
a blogger. You know, I read everything he does, and
yes.
if he, you know, says something about a book or whatever, I will go to that.
You perk up your ears, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, absolutely, because
yeah, yeah.
I trust his curation, which is ironic, because that's kind of what publishers have been in the past.
Right,
now,
yeah.
yeah, now bloggers are that.
Well, that I think has been the big change that we've all seen, really, in the last year. Even I think that sort of change from, you know, because we do need a filter. Was it 750,000 books are produced every year now? You know, most of those self-published, obviously. But how on earth do we get to those books? Well, the only real way is by some sort of filter, either advertising or by some blogger or some other person that we respect in terms of their opinion. So it's becoming really important for us, I think, to A, get our own books out to those sorts of influential people, and B, get online, get onto Twitter, get onto Facebook, because really we will disappear as authors if we don't have that sort of presence. I think it's become absolutely vital.
Mm. And And we've kind of gone off the topic of copywriting.
Sorry, that's me.
No,
I'll go anyway.
I'm really interested. No, what you just said there about, you know, doing stuff online, I want to go right back to when you did your introduction.
Yeah.
You said you started working for free at the beginning of your career.
Now,
I think that is exactly what I am doing and what many people who are building an online platform are doing. Basically, I'm in my third year of online learning and working for free.
For no money, yep.
Yeah, for no money, and, you know, for, like, today I'm working from home and, well, not working, I'm working on my business and taking a day off paid money. So,
sure.
You know, this is essentially it. So do you think that is the only way to get into making a living now in a different sense, I guess?
Look, you know, I wish it wasn't, but in some ways I think it is, unless you're really lucky, unless you know someone, or, you know, you somehow get your book in front of some really influential person who just jumps on top of it. But I look at all the, you know, the blogs that have turned into books, and, you know, the hard work that has, in a sense, gone into those books. I mean, the two prime examples are the things white people like in the States. I can't remember the author's
name. Christian
Lander. Christian, yes. Who's turned, in a sense, 12 months of really hard work into a book product. And here in Australia, we have another website called Things Bogans. Like. But they've got a book.
I don't even know what the American word for bogan is. It would
sure.
be like redneck. Or
redneck,
something.
I'm guessing. Yeah, okay. I don't really know.
And in England, it's chav. I know
chav,
that.
Yeah, I knew that. But redneck, certainly in the States. Anyway, it's a really witty, kind, you know, quite rude site. But anyway, leaving that aside, they've got a book deal out of it. And I think that's the principle that you're talking about. You know, you have to, in a sense, get out there and fly your flag before you reap the rewards of what you will do. Because I think the days of knocking on the publisher's door and he, she doing all that hard work for you really have gone, for the vast majority of us. You know, there's very few people that can do that anymore. But the only way that you're going to, in a sense, create a presence is to get out there and do something. And that is going to take time. You know, you say you've spent 2 years doing it. I completely agree. It's going to take that sort of time and that sort of commitment. And in a way, that's probably a good thing, because it does sort the wheat from the chaff.
Definitely.
You know, of that 750,000 books that are produced each year, you know, how many of those are actually going to be readable? You know, authors, you know, tidy your stuff up. The bad grammar and all the rest of it that we've all read in some of those self-published books really is not good for us and our industry. You know, we've got to prove ourselves, and I think one of the ways that we do prove ourselves is with well-done websites, with Facebook pages, with teaser programs, with, you know, characterizations of our main, you know, the characters that we've got in the novels, those sorts of things. Once you prove that you're a really interesting, engaging writer with characters that I might want to read more about, well, then, yes, I will pay my, you know, $14.99 to see what... to see how you can entertain me.
No, absolutely. No, I think, and I thought that was a good lesson, because I do feel that certainly, you know, my novel, the amount of time you spend writing a novel, and you just think, what the hell am I doing with my time?
Well, yeah, but here you go, Joanna. Here you go. You've got to go out there and sell that book. You know,
I will.
I'm going to be flying that flag for selling our product as hard as I possibly can, because we don't do ourselves any favors, us authors. You know, we're too shy and retiring and introverted. We've got to get out there and sell our product. We deserve the money that we get for that effort, I think.
And everybody who's shy is freaking out now.
Yeah, get online, it's easy. You can hide behind your computer screen.
Yeah, exactly. And a few weeks ago I did an interview on being an introvert, so, you know, we can go back and listen to that one maybe. But that's good. Right, we're running out of time already. And
I'm sure.
So did you, just getting back on copywriting, did you have anything in particular you also wanted people to take away with them?
Look, I the one thing I'd want to say is as a writer, I'm really passionate about, you know, the stuff that I do, whether it's commercial, whether it's writing, whether it's writing books. And I think, you know, that's what authors are, passionate people. I think if you, you know, want to write, go for your life. It's such a wonderful life if you possibly can. And if I can help in any way, you know, my website is alwayswrite.com.au. That's how you get in touch with me. I'm happy to help people. I'm happy to interact and so on. And, you know, if people just want a few clues on how to really structure their homepage or something or other, I'm very happy to help. This is my world. These are my people. I'm really happy to engage with authors. So if anyone wants it, help yourselves.
Oh, that's lovely. So that's where people can find you online, is it?
alwayswrite.com.au, which is always the word, and then WRITE, alwayswrite.com.au.
Fantastic.
Find me there.
And I'll put a link to that on the homepage. So thanks ever so much for your time, Paul. That was really great.
Oh, thank you so much, Joanna.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.